Before receiving Holy Communion, you all kneel, and I, the priest, hold up the sacred host over the chalice filled with the precious blood of our Lord, and I say, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold Him who takes away the sins of the world." To which you all respond, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." Here we are echoing the words that the centurion spoke when he asked Jesus to cure his serving boy. For us, this is a very humble, prayerful act. We recognize that we are not worthy. Yes, we are poor creatures. So God is God. God is perfect love, perfect goodness, perfect knowledge, power, and so on, and we're just poor little creatures. We also aren't perfect. That Almighty God knows we commit sin, and we should recognize that ourselves too. Nevertheless, even though we aren't worthy, God loves us. And God loves us so much that He has given us our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus perfectly revealed God's love, His truth. Jesus went to the cross to offer the sacrifice for our sins, and He rose to give us the hope of everlasting life. Jesus instituted the Holy Eucharist to share His life and love with us. So even though we may not be worthy, our Lord wants us to be worthy, and our Lord wants to share His life with us. So in receiving Holy Communion, Jesus is really humbling Himself to share in our humanity so that we may share in His divinity. Of course, to receive Holy Communion, we do have to be in a state of grace, free of mortal sin. Nevertheless, we should strive, always strive to be worthy. And that's what our gospel is about today. Our Lord tells the apostles that unless you love me above everything else, above parents, above brothers and sisters, above anyone else, you are not worthy of me. Jesus can command this because He is our Lord and Savior. He is true God who became true man. So Jesus says to us that He has to be number one. He has to be the focus of our lives. His love has to be first and foremost in our lives. For this reason, then, this is why we not only take the time, but we make the time for prayer each day, for coming to Mass on Sundays or holy days especially, for reading sacred scripture or other spiritual works. This is why we make and take the time for that self-examination and that confession of our sins. It's because we want to be worthy of the love of Christ, and we recognize He has to be number one in our lives. But with that then, because of that love, Jesus says, take up your cross. Remember, when we were baptized, that the priest, right before the actual baptism, made the sign of the cross on our foreheads and said, "I claim you for Christ." Then we were baptized. When we were confirmed, the bishop made the sign of the cross on our foreheads, saying, "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit." In all, we're marked by the cross. But in looking at that cross, we see the kind of love that we're called to live. So loving Jesus first and foremost, then we're called to show the same kind of love that He did, looking at that cross. That love is a permanent, faithful, self-giving love. Therefore, with all of this in its proper order, we can love then a spouse or a child, a parent, neighbor, the way we ought to love, without counting the cost. Even our Lord makes the point of giving that little cup of cold water to the little one. In the original Greek text, that little one is the word micron. So you can imagine it means insignificant, those that can't repay, those are the poorest of the poor, and so on. Well, we give generously even to that person because of the love we have for Christ. This makes a whole difference in our lives then. When couples come to me for marriage preparation, I've always asked, well, why do you want to get married? The common answer is, we love each other. So, and that's the right answer. But I then tell them a little bit more about love and so on. But then I also tell them that, sadly, in our world today, in our country, 50% of marriages end within 5 years in divorce. That's sad. Here are these people that say, we love each other. And then within five years, they're divorced. Bad investment, for one thing, when you think of how much wedding costs in this area. But the same study shows that if couples go to church every Sunday, it drops to 10%. And if couples and families pray together each day, it drops to 5%. And if couples do not contracept, it drops to 1%, even less. And what's the difference? God, the presence of God's love. God's love is number one. And that love then is being shown in the family, in the marriage, to others. This is why John Paul II always said, families that pray together, stay together. Here's the love that makes all the difference in the world. But it has to begin with God. His love that's then reflected in our life with that same permanent, faithful, self-sacrificing love. Now, what's the reward to all of this? Poor victims of original sin, oftentimes we will think, well, what is in it for me? What's the advantage here? We have to be careful, on guard, against thinking about just doing for our own little kingdom. Kingdom being money, material things, power, position, social life, whatever. Recognizing, hopefully, that's all going to end in this life. Maybe we're thinking the reward is going to be something else in our life for our own advancement. Eventually, we all face the grave. So what's the reward that Jesus promises? Everlasting life. Life with Him now, but life forever in heaven. What a great reward when we see that love fulfilled. This is what St. Paul teaches about baptism. In our second passage from Romans, St. Paul says, in baptism we've died with Christ, and we've risen to a new life. And St. Paul says, we too must think of ourselves as dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. That's the reward. It's the love of God, now and forever. St. Thomas Aquinas, who was that great saint of the 1200s, who, great philosopher, wrote volumes of work, the Summa Theologia being his most famous, quoted throughout the catechism, still studied by any philosophy student today and any theology student, once was praying very intently before the crucifix, and Jesus came alive. And Jesus said, Thomas, you've written so well about me. What reward can I give you? And he said, only yourself. That's what it's all about. That's what it means to be striving to be worthy of our Lord. Different perspective of life. Now, granted, it's not easy, because there are times when we'll have to make that decision. Who do I really love most of all? The Lord, or someone, or something else? Not easy. I've known people. For instance, I knew students when I was the chaplain at Marymount who at times were ridiculed, sometimes excluded because they didn't smoke pot, didn't get drunk, didn't sleep around. They chose Christ. My grandma's pastor for many years, old Monsignor Corcoran, now deceased for probably 25, 30 years at this point, when I became a priest, he was very happy about that, and he told me a story of his own life. He had come from a very wealthy family in San Francisco, but when he had decided to become a priest, his family cast him off. They denied him. they refused to accept him becoming a priest. But he said to me, I never regret the decision I made for Jesus. Never regret the decision. And then I know, too, people in business who've had to make that tough decision. This one lady I know had a very high position in the federal government in the Department of Health and Human Services. And she resigned because she was then put in responsible for the abortion funding of the Clinton administration. So she resigned. She wanted nothing to do with it. She chose Jesus. And then I know, too, a few couples that have broken up because of this. This one couple, about a month before their wedding, the woman announced, I don't want to have any children, and I don't want anything to do with the Catholic Church. Her fiancé was Catholic. So he said, well, this can't go on. He chose Christ. Not easy. But at the same time, they stayed in love with the Lord, and they found real freedom. They found real life. Much better than becoming a slave to something or someone who cannot offer everlasting life. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, said this, people who are constantly concerned for themselves, who act above all for their own satisfaction, endanger their eternal salvation, and cannot avoid being unhappy even in this life. Only if a person forgets himself and gives himself to God and others, in marriage as well as in any other aspect of life, can he be happy on this earth, with a happiness that is a preparation for the foretaste of heaven. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we prepare to receive Holy Communion today, we recognize we aren't worthy, but we recognize that our Lord loves us so much. We need to strive to be worthy, to love as he loved, to be mindful we're marked with the cross, and show the love of the cross to all, looking forward to the fulfillment of that love in heaven. May God bless you.